From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you decided to be with us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelsch inviting you to stay tuned for a message from God's Holy Word, the Bible, as well as some sacred music that will honor the Lord. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message called The Unconcealable Christ. In his dealing with the Syrophoenician woman, Christ showed that the gospel transcends every human boundary. We'll see that the presence of the Savior will manifest itself in the life of every saved sinner, as well as in the circumstances of their lives. In keeping with the theme of the Protestant Reformation, Dr. Cairns first of all brings today's hot topic, the monstrous myth of seven sacraments.
Yesterday I mentioned the seven sacraments that the Church of Rome insists Christ instituted for perpetual observance in His Church. They are baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist, penance, the last rites of the Church, holy orders, the priesthood, and matrimony. Reading Roman Catholic defenses of these seven sacraments, I'm amazed at the open self-contradiction. For example, Rome states that matrimony is a sacrament, yet she defends her invention that no priest may marry. She gives a variety of reasons why the law of priestly celibacy should be kept intact, despite the evidence of widespread immorality among her priests, but she never answers this simple question. If matrimony is a sacrament in which Christ is received and by which His grace is actually conferred, how can it be right to prohibit a man who's professedly seeking all the grace that Christ can give him from a sacrament that will fill him with grace? As I say, an open contradiction. Of course, in the New Testament, matrimony is not a sacrament, nor is confirmation, penance, the last rites, or the priesthood. Matrimony is very important. It's a divine institution that dates all the way back to the creation. But there's not a word of its being a sacrament or a channel of grace that people receive by the very act of entering into the married state. The New Testament says nothing about marriage being a sacrament. If it were, there could never be any ground for dissolving it, and the Lord Jesus stipulated that in cases of fornication, it could be dissolved. And Rome, for all her proclaimed opposition to divorce, regularly annuls marriages, as in the recent case of Robert Kennedy Jr., in which a long-standing marriage was effectively declared never to have happened, and the children it produced rendered illegitimate. But how can you annul a sacrament? The thought is repugnant. We look in vain in the New Testament for any of the five sacraments that Rome invented. They're not even mentioned as sacraments. The scripture texts that Rome adduces make no sacramental statements. Rome has simply invented them for her own purposes, which is another way of saying that as she developed further and further from the purity of the gospel, she introduced innovations to bind the people to her. So, by making a list of sacraments that elevated her priests and covered every age of life from the cradle to the grave, Rome gradually and effectively enslaved her people. In addition, Rome corrupted the two genuine sacraments of the New Testament Church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. She has corrupted baptism into the dogma of baptismal regeneration, making it essential to receiving salvation from Christ. She even taught that babies who die before being baptized must be eternally excluded from heaven. The New Testament doctrine of baptism is not baptismal regeneration. As I've stated earlier in the week, Rome has also corrupted the Lord's Supper by making it an actual sacrifice in which Christ is immolated, to use her word. That is, burned up as a victim. He's immolated as a propitiation for the sins of the living and the dead. How refreshing to turn from Rome's inventions to the simple purity of God's word. There are only two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Let us cherish them and never surrender them for the ecumenical mess of pottage that offers us Rome's unbiblical, liturgical, and sacramental system. There is death in that pot.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Anybody who sees Jesus Christ as a mere insurance from the fires of hell and nothing else, I fear, is still without Him. For you can't hide Him if He's there. What's true in our hearts and souls is certainly true in the experiences of life. If you have Christ in the vessel, you may hit the storm, but He'll be with you in the storm. And He will be to His people in the storm what He was to the disciples in the ship when it was storm-tossed on the Sea of Galilee. In all our joys, He will be our chief joy. In all our trials and tribulations, He will be our chief comfort and assurance. For a while, He may appear to hide His face, just as happened in the portion we've been reading. But He must make Himself known. He must make Himself known. He will make Himself known and His presence felt. The trial of our faith is a precious thing because it is to make His presence all the more glorious at the proper time of Christ's revelation of Himself. It is to make us more all the more desirous. It is to make us less and less attached to the world and more to yearn after Him. It's the reason He hides His face. For a short time, He says, I have forsaken you, or appear to have. But with great mercies I'll gather you. That's how the Lord deals with His people. Is not Job the outstanding example of this? You think of all that time that Job went on. And what was he saying? Oh, that I knew where I might find Him. Oh, that I could come before God. Oh, that He would come and speak to me now. Where is God when I need Him? Where is God when my family's gone, my health is gone, my wealth is gone, my friends have gone, my reputation's gone? What Satan wanted him to be able to say was, my faith has gone. And though at times I think Job came perilously close, he couldn't deny the Lord. And that's why he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. You see, in even those extreme circumstances, the Lord was there. When he couldn't see him, he was still there. When he couldn't feel him, he was still there. When there was no evident demonstration of his presence, he was still there, watching until the right time. And Job had come to the end of himself, and words had dried up. Then the Lord showed himself. You see, in the experiences of life, cry to him. In a church this size this morning, there is no doubt whatsoever, that there are people sitting here with burdens that crush their hearts, with dark thoughts that afflict their minds, with pains that rack their bodies. And they need the Lord to show himself. The temptation of the devil for God's people is always what he led the children of Israel to say: is the Lord among us or not? And the Lord was incensed that the people of God would even ask such a question. Is the Lord among us or not? It's not a question that a Christian should be asking. For the Lord has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will not fail thee. It's the Lord's promise. Therefore, it's not will God reveal himself, but when and how will he do it? For do it he will. Let us grasp this today. In the experiences of life, he cannot be hid. The bereavements of death cannot hide Christ. The sufferings of the body cannot hide Christ. The torments of the mind cannot hide Christ. The afflictions of the world, the opposition of the devil, the weakness of the flesh cannot hide Christ. Oh, that we would grasp this today. He is the unconcealable Christ. He cannot be hid. And it's true also in the work and the witness of the church. You can't hide him. I love what's said in Mark chapter 2. Beautiful statement about Christ going into the house in Capernaum. And you remember that great occasion when they let the man down through the roof and he healed him. He healed him. Well, there's a beautiful statement there. I'm deliberately not turning to it, because if I get on to it, we'll never get back. And I haven't even got to my text yet. We'll never get back here. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. I have often thought, you know, that is the very best way to build a church. That's the best way to get people into a church. That's the best way to see the work of God flourish. Let it be noised abroad that Jesus is here. Oh, tell the people that this preacher's here or that preacher's there. Some will come because they like him. Some will stay away because they don't like him. Others will turn up for a group that's going to sing and entertain them on the way to hell. What does it matter whether they come or whether they don't come under those circumstances? But oh, let it be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. And he has still that mighty attractive force. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And while that is significantly true and primarily true of his crucifixion, drawing his people out of all the world, it is always true in the most practical level where Jesus is lifted up. He has the most magnetic power in all the world, and he draws people to himself. I think that people stay away from churches because they go to church and they see people and they never see the Lord. They go to church and they hear drivel, but they never meet with the Lord. They hear principles of life, but they don't meet with the Lord. Men and women, let it be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. Men will come. I believe that where the gospel is preached, where prayer is wont to be made, where believers are devoted to the service of their Savior, where they're obedient to His call to evangelize the lost, where they are determined by the grace of God to serve not in the power of flesh, but by the anointing of the Spirit of God, I believe they will find that Jesus cannot be hid. His glory is unconcealable. We see that in the passage that we have been reading today. He could not be hid. And that fact produced three great results. This was to be what I was preaching on this morning, but take me a little time to get there, so I'll have to be brief on it. But three great results of the fact that he couldn't be hid. It led first to a confession of his person. Notice what the woman said to him, Matthew 15:22, O Lord, thou son of David. And then later, verse 27, she simply addressed him as Lord. Now I can't tell you for sure how this woman learned about the Messiahship of Christ, but I know that she had learned about it. She saw him as her Lord. She saw him as the promised Messiah of the Israel of God. She saw him as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. She saw him as the rightful king of Israel, the son of David. Now that's quite a theological revelation. That's a whole lot more than you would have imagined this Syrophoenician heathen ever to have gleaned. But this much she knew. It's amazing when I read some commentators in a passage like this, and they talk about her approach to him, that really, she probably didn't see much about his deity. She didn't see this, she didn't see that, she didn't see the other thing. I think that this woman saw a whole lot more than most of the educated idiots who try to comment upon her coming. I wish that they could come with as much revelation from God and as much faith as this woman came confessing his person. And thank God that glory is still unconcealable. You think of the person of Christ. Satan has heaped scorn upon his person. Infidels have blasphemed him. Apostates have denied him. And they've used every device and art known to man to discredit him. But still, the glory of his person cannot be hid. Through the fires of opposition and persecution, through the fogs of infidelity, through the confusion caused by apostates who have got inside the church of Christ, the beams of that glorious person shine with undiminished power and fullness. And here's the rub. What convinces men so that they make a confession of his person? What does it? The reality of his presence. That's what does it. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but I'm going to make what to some is an outlandish statement. It's never stopped me making it before, it'll not stop me making it now. Apologetics always comes to the fore in the church when it is least experiencing the presence and the power of the risen Christ. Now, I have studied apologetics. I've even taught some apologetics, so I'm not against them. There are good reasons for what we believe. But let me tell you, to convince men of who Christ is, we need not better arguments or greater learning. We need the reality of His presence. And that's it.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.